universal and the individual are one. All has been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and he to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Matthew 11:27, which is proof again. Well, the universal and the individual are one, but it's the individual that must recognize this truth before it becomes a reality to the individual. And how can the individual then realize this truth? He cannot realize it from ignorance and from error. He could only know that it is true when he has eliminated all that is false from the mind. Because the Father is not created, you do not create him. You do not create the universal. Universal always is, it does not have to be. Therefore, what we do create in the mind is only a formulation of our own, which we think is real, but you will know it is not real at all. It's a formulation of your own mind as to regard the universal or the Father. So it is on the intellectual plane. If it is on the intellectual plane, then it is just reaction, a reaction to an idea that I give you or my words, and you create another reaction to those words and becomes an intellectual thing instead of reality. A reality only comes when you have action within yourselves, not reaction. Reaction to what I say is nothing. It is action within yourselves that brings about this realization of the eternal and ever-present. And that is why the majority of people can never get past the intellectual, because they're always reacting to words. They read this and read that, and they create another idea in their mind, or it creates an idea in their mind, regard what it is, but it remains there. It doesn't go any further. Therefore, there can be no action. Action only comes when the individual begins to see what the intellectual process is, and leaves it alone, and goes deeper into that which is action itself, which only exists in the present. Not in the past or the future, but in the present, the living present. Consciousness is the instrument of creation, the instrument of all activity, from within, out. Yet you will notice that all things, to be known at all, we must be conscious of them, even those sensations that arise from within. Therefore, all sensations must be interpreted within ourselves before we understand them. Consciousness makes things to you an apparent reality. But consciousness itself is the only reality. But it makes other things an apparent reality, but it is not so. There is nothing real except the Infinite Himself. There is nothing real except God or the Spirit. There is nothing real but the consciousness itself. But the consciousness makes other things apparently real, which is not so, because you create the consciousness by creating an idea in the mind, or the idea becomes some concrete idea in the mind that the consciousness takes hold of and makes it a reality. It is not a truth. It is not a reality. The only reality is life itself. And how can you know what life is? You can't know what life is. You try to make an idea of life in your mind. You conjure up an idea of life, and you lose life itself. You do not know what life is. But it is, just the same as you don't know what electricity is, but it is. You say electricity is a light. Yes, it's quite true. It's a light. It's a manifestation of electricity. When you've seen me, you'll also say it's life. It is so. It's a manifestation of life. That's why Jesus said, who has seen me has seen the Father. And unless we begin to see clearly that what's in our mind is but an idea, The word God is not God. The word love is not love. But you read in your Bible various things, and you come away with it, and you say, the Bible says so-and-so. That's a reaction. But if you begin to see what you're doing, and you're only reacting, then you will have action. But action only comes when you know what reaction is. The subconscious is a name we give to the inner functions of the mind. It is not a separate mind. It is an organism through which we contact the inner world as well as the reflector of what we see, hear, and feel. The solar plexus is the brain of the sympathetic nervous system and works in conjunction with the cerebellum, where all control of the subjective functions is regulated, such as circulation, breathing, glandular secretion, digestion, absorption, etc., etc. All emotional reflexes greatly affect this wonderful mechanism. So it is the solar plexus and the cerebellum, or this area here at the back of the head, which is automatic in nature, which is controlled directly by the intelligence, but you can affect it to a great extent by your emotional reflexes. If you have a pain anywhere in the body, you become anxious about that pain, and then have a feeling about that pain in your mind. The cerebrum comes into operation then and tells you that you have a pain. The feeling of that pain comes from the cerebellum, not from the cerebrum here in the front, but from the cerebellum. Therefore, you have then an activity which takes place throughout the whole body, which affects the solar plexus. Solar plexus being the brain of what they call the sympathetic or the subjective mentality. It is even much more important even than your cerebrum. That is what you see, feel, and touch, because that deals with the senses. But your sensations that come from the body and your emotional reflexes have an effect upon the cerebellum at the back, which affects all these glandular secretions, the digestion, the absorption, and breathing, etc. And these emotional reflexes, of course, you see affecting this organism causes a deterioration in the activity of that particular brain called the cerebellum. If you could only see what an emotional reflex does to that organism, which throws out of gear much of your automatic activities in the body, especially the glandular secretions. Man is an expression of the universal mind, which is also the instrument of the universal consciousness. Therefore, we are bound up with the universal through our consciousness. That is why I have explained that consciousness alone is created. Consciousness is cause. Now, you do not know what consciousness is, because you can never analyze your consciousness. You don't know what it is because the consciousness will always be analyzing something external to itself. Therefore, when you try to analyze your consciousness, you will see that consciousness is analyzing something else. Therefore, consciousness can never be analyzed and can never be known. You cannot tell what consciousness is just as you cannot tell what life is. But life and consciousness are synonymous. Without life, you could have no consciousness. So therefore, consciousness is the instrument of life itself, its creativeness. To go into the details of the activities of how consciousness works, we'll have to deal with that another night. We can be caught up in both good and bad, health and ill health, success and failure. It is when we recognize this that we can free ourselves from opposites. The universal mind is impersonal in nature, and we are created impersonally in the universal. Can it be otherwise? For there cannot be any creation outside it. We also must have the qualities of the impersonal individualized in us. When we understand this, we will understand the saying, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It is said now often, it is God that is working in and through you. Well, that is truth. But it is to the majority of people just an idea. It's an intellectual idea. It is not a truth to them because they haven't found it yet. Then they try to think about it and they say, how can God work through me now? You can find the reason why you think that is because that you want to know. You want to be sure of the fact that God is working in and through you. But how can you know if you are caught up in the various things that hinder the expression of that life that you can experience? And only through experience, the activity of that life itself, will you know that it's true. You cannot know it is true in your own mind, because that can only be an idea. It cannot be a truth at all. You can change it about any way you like. You make all sorts of formulations regarding to it, and there can be a thousands of them. But the idea or the word is not life. Life itself is entirely different. How are you going to experience it then? You're going to experience it only when you discern everything that is in your mind. When you see what you are doing in your mind, how you're reacting, how you're receiving. Believing and disbelieving is in the mind. Why do you believe something and disbelieve another thing? Well, it is just pure ignorance, that's all. Disbelieving and believing is not understanding. If you go to a meeting and there you will hear a speaker, and no sooner you hear the speaker, you agree with him, you shout hurrah. Another speaker comes on and he has a different idea and you disagree with him and you boo. Well, you see, the whole thing is total ignorance, is it not so? Because you do not understand what one person is saying or what the other person is saying. You have given no consideration. You haven't examined what he said. And the reason why you accept a thing and reject a thing is because what's in your own mind. What you believe, you accept, because what's in your subconscious mind, you will accept, and what you disbelieve in your subconscious mind, you will reject. Therefore, you do not understand, you are just ignorant, saying yes and no. Now, you see, unless you understand this and what is made up in your mind, you will never know what is in your mind. You'll only react, and reaction is of no use to you whatsoever. The mind is a most tremendous and wonderful thing, but we've got to know it. And we've got to get behind and beyond the mind to know reality and life itself. Therefore, if you do not know why you say yes and why you say no, you are just ignorant of the fact. But if you consider and examine the statements of any individual, once you begin to know the truth, you will know whether it's true or not. If there is anything in the statement that causes an idea of separation between man and man, then it's a lie. It has no existence in truth at all. It is false. You will very soon see that an individual makes statements according to his own mental makeup. And if you are in accordance and your makeup is similar, you'll accept those statements. And if your makeup is different, you reject those statements. But you do not know which is right and which is wrong because you're ignorant of both. You're just reacting. Action comes when you get rid of reaction and understand what reaction is and means. And you'll never know what truth is until you get rid of that. Universal mind must hold all the laws and means of manifestation. It knows how. You don't have to tell it how to digest your food. It knows how. When a child is born, it knows where to go for its milk. The universal mind is the vehicle in which God and man resemble each other. one being the product of the other, man made in God's likeness. Through the universal creativeness, a man, a beast, a tree, a flower, etc. are created. All are creations in the universal mind, yet all are different phases of activity, producing their kind according to the seed or idea held in the universal mind, for there cannot be any creation outside it, being universal in nature. A divine ideal is perfect. A divine idea is a creation. You and I are divine ideas because there is no flaw in the divine idea. When man begins to create his ideas of what a divine idea is, he has lost himself. But if you can cleanse the mind freely, and the mind becomes peaceful and quiet, and in the silence of that mind, then the divine idea will express itself. And it's only when you are aware. Awareness is this: be alert, to watch, to pray, to be alert all the time, so that you will know whether you are reacting to something that is already in your mind. Awareness is consideration and examination. Awareness is a means through which reality begins to move itself and manifest, because awareness does away with all things that hinder the expression of reality. And to be aware is something that you must learn. Every day of your life, you must be aware and not be caught up in statements, in things, ideas, beliefs, or disbeliefs. Awareness is the spearhead of understanding. Consciousness alone being created, we see that consciousness permeates the whole of the universal, including man. When man becomes truly aware of this, he becomes impersonal, becomes master of nature. This is the great truth the Master revealed, and it is the truth I am revealing to you, so that you will realize that consciousness alone is creative. The more impersonal you are, the more the universal mind will respond. Therefore, the personal is a hindrance to the expression of the impersonal. The personal is lost in separation between man and man. The impersonal is the unity between man and man. So think it out. The personal is separation. And when you think about it, you will see how true it is. But the impersonal is unity. It's the union between man and man. So therefore, you will realize the difference between the two. The one is false, created by man, and the other is God himself. Very true, the prophet said, you must forsake this tree of knowledge of good and evil and cling to this tree of life will be your salvation. How true he was, because you cannot bridge between error and truth. It is impossible, for one is an error having no foundation whatsoever, while the other is true and has a foundation. You cannot then bridge the gap between the wind and a building, can you? Can you bridge the gap between nothing and that which is? You must either dispose of the one, leave it alone, and cling to the other. And the prophet knew it and saw it so clearly, that unless you cling to the tree of life, there you have your salvation. Then you must let go of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, because it grows out of man's mind. It is man's own creation. Therefore, the law that operates for man as it does for God, when man knows himself. Knowing the self is much more than is generally understood. Know thyself is but a phrase of speech. But to know the self, one must understand the self, the ways of the self. Otherwise, the personal cannot be superseded by the impersonal, for the personal always remains the obstruction. Get the personal out of the way. A person sometimes comes and they say certain thing. I say, your name is John so-and-so. Yes. I said, well, the only way that you can get rid of this trouble is to get John so-and-so out of the way. You see, it's quite clear. Then you get John so-and-so out of the way, then when you get him out of the way, there is reality itself. Reality, that which is there. The personal is always violating the law of the impersonal through separation. Therefore, the personal must become aware of what it is doing. Otherwise, it will still be caught up in falseness in the error of separation. If the personal sees that it is living in separation, this is the first step to the elimination of the obstruction. And following this, there must be discernment of the mind-heart. This is the only way to arrive at the impersonal. To have an idea only of the impersonal is of little value while the personal is still living in separation, which is chaos. So, if you're still living in separation and in chaos, and you only have an idea of the impersonal, what use is it to you? Is there any use of it at all? Of course there is not, because you will never know what the impersonal is when living in the personal in separation. You must understand that to know it that is false has no existence in reality. It is built by the self. It is grown in man, and man alone is responsible for its growth. Therefore, it has no existence outside man himself. Therefore, it must be dissolved away. The lamb is representative of the impersonal. The lion is representative of the personal. It is said in the Bible that the lamb overcomes the lion, and they both lie down together as one. Christ is the love, wisdom, and power. The self is the illusion. So the one will be overcome by the other, and it is stated perfectly clearly that the lamb overcomes the lion, and it is perfectly true. This is symbolical of the mystery of life itself. Love, the impersonal, must overcome all things personal. Love being an eternal, creative power in the universe. What is universal in God is individualized in man. Only in God is there power. Man by himself is nothing. He struggles to be something. But if he only knew, he would cease his struggling. And he would know. Then he would find that the power of God would be in him. You struggle to get it. You struggle to be something. You're always trying to become something. What are you trying to become? Don't you see you're going away from reality? You're going away from the impersonal? But if you know what you're struggling about, and you see how futile it is, you will cease struggling, will you not? And when you cease struggling, what is there? There is peace, isn't there? There is quietness, and in that quietness, there is reality. It can only express itself in peace and quietness, because in that there is great and mighty power. The law operates universally so that the whole universe will express harmony. We must understand that the universal mind will create for the individual just as he thinks and feels. Therefore, if we live in opposites, we create opposites. If we live in duality, it is evident that we do not understand. Because we create both good and evil together within ourselves, duality then exists only in the mind of man who does not know himself. When we understand the laws that operate within ourselves, we will see that what Paul says is true for us. Love never disappears. As for prophesying, it will be superseded. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will be superseded. For we only know bit by bit. We only prophesy bit by bit. But when the perfect comes, the imperfect will be superseded. It will just be not there. You will not bother about it. You will not even worry about it. This is a law that man cannot disregard with impunity. Otherwise, he creates for himself all the misery which he suffers. And not until he has discarded the ways of the self and discerned them so that he can discard them, he will create misery continually. Then love, which is the permanent, universal, eternal creative power, will remain in him when he frees himself from the things of the self. When he frees himself from the misery created by the self, when he ceases to struggle, when he begins to see what an error is, has no foundation on itself. It does not build upon anything. I've said so often before, to bring my point to you clearly, is an error in a sum has no foundation. When the error corrected, it just disappears. It has no foundation whatsoever. But the sum is based upon the foundation of mathematics. Therefore, a sum that is correct is always correct, because it's based upon the fundamental principle of mathematics. Misery, therefore, is temporary and transient, a creation of man not knowing himself. That's the most wonderful truth, is it not? Life, being perfect in itself, can it be an idea? The mind must be peaceful and quiet. Then, in that quiet, life, this joy, this power, this healing flows through the whole body. Body becomes charged with it. Goes out through, then out into the atmosphere. Every other person is affected by it. It is the flowing of the life through the consciousness that is aware of it. For immediately becomes aware of the cause of his misery, which is the personal self, the cause will dissolve, and with it the effect also. Then reality will manifest immediately, for it is eternal and ever-present. Therefore, individual and world peace begins with us and not outside us. So the extraordinary thing is this, that reality is immediate. Immediately got rid of the false. Now I'm telling you a truth, and you will find it true for yourself. But you like to cling on to the things of the self, because you feel there is a certain sense of security. But there is no security with the self. It's an illusion. Creativeness can only exist in the ever-present. It can't exist in the future. It can't exist in the past, because these are things of the mind. Creativeness is existing now, which is not of the mind. It is greater than mind. It's beyond mind. It is ever-present. The consciousness that becomes aware of it becomes the point through which it expresses itself outwardly. It begins to express itself outwardly. It is the secret that Jesus said to the Father, whoever remaineth within me, performing his own deeds. Wisdom guides the proper use of knowledge, as well as knowing what knowledge is. The accumulation of memory is made up from knowledge, with its scars of experience, and we are interpreting the present according to the memory, giving continuity to its own scars and conditioning. Therefore, there can be no renewal of the present. You must be free from the past and the future. If experience is all right, yes, but experience is limiting, and so is knowledge. You learn something. Yes, you learn it. You learn it the hard way, perhaps. Your experience also will cost you a lot, too. Because it costs you a lot, you want to keep it. Therefore, you can't get anything else. But don't you see what a fool you are? You're preventing new and greater experiences. And you're preventing new and greater knowledge. Because you're trying to hold on to the old knowledge you had. And you think that it's final. When there's nothing of the sort, you're hindered by that idea of finality in your own knowledge or your own experiences. It is not until you are freed from the past and your future. It is not until you free yourself from your own experiences. It is not until you free yourself from the knowledge you have, can you go forward. And wisdom then guides knowledge into greater and greater understanding. For knowledge is always widening, but wisdom is eternal and ever-present. Knowledge is always growing and widening out to a greater sphere of activity, but wisdom remains the same forever and ever. It is eternal and ever-present. It is the direction of the infinite mind. Our continuity of thought built upon memory is time building. So there can be no renewal, no rebirth of the ever-present. But if we have lived and experienced fully, completely, it leaves no trace behind. When you begin to understand the experience, it does not give continuity to its self-identified memory. It begins to see that your experiences you see to the very end, you understand it completely, it no longer crops up into your mind continuously to baffle you, in which you struggle with. Therefore, if you discern the experience completely and know it for what it is finished with. When you understand something, it's finished with, it no longer troubles you. Is when you do not understand something, it always troubles you. Therefore, begin to understand what your experiences are. Know them for what they are. But if they are continually creating a disturbance in your mind, you are identifying yourselves with them. And what is an experience anyhow? It's a memory, is it not? And it is this memory that is holding you back. You identify yourselves with your memories, with your experiences, with your hurts, with your mistakes, with all the things that are troubling you. And not until such time as you see them for what they are. A memory cannot hurt you when you understand what it is. But a memory will always burden you until you do understand it. Is it not a fact that we consider the present as a means to an end, so the present loses its immense significance? The present is the ever-presence. It is continually renewing itself from moment to moment, and you are renewed with it. The present is the eternal, but how can a mind that is made up of memory, experience, understand that which is not made up? Which is beyond all value, the eternal. We must understand every experience to be free from the accumulation of memory that blinds the ever-present. As we do this consciously, the unconscious will come to the surface, so that all the conscious and unconscious accumulation will no longer be a hindrance. Is it not so that every act you do today is a result of an act that is done yesterday? Is it not so that what you think today is because of the subconscious of yesterday? If you do not understand that, then you'll be continually giving expression to the subconscious. But if you discern everything you're doing today, now at this moment, You will bring to the surface all the hidden unconscious, and it will be dealt with. What's the use of searching into your unconscious for something that happened years ago? How stupid it is. You don't know what it is anyhow. You're only chasing an effect. That's an effect of something you do not know. But if you are discerning, if you are wide awake, if you are aware of your thoughts, your feelings, now, in the present, all that is submerged in the subconscious will rise to the surface and it will be seen easily and understood, because they're all linked together by a chain of association of ideas. What is in the subconscious, you are expressing in the consciousness now. If you understand that, then you will be able to bring everything that is in the subconscious to the surface by discerning your thoughts and your emotions at this very moment. But you would see them without fear. You mustn't condemn or blame. There must be no condemnation, no blaming, no identifying. They must be seen on the surface clearly to understand them. If you're afraid of anything, you can't understand it. If you suppress something, you cannot understand it. If you're fearful of a thought, you cannot understand it. You can only understand it when you look at it impersonally. There must be no resistance whatsoever, as I told you the other night. So that all the consciousness and the unconscious accumulation will no longer be a hindrance. It is those uncompleted, not understood experiences with the recurring memories that blind us to the ever-present reality. And if we are blinded to the ever-present reality, then we will not know what it is. We cling so tenaciously to what we have gathered because we are afraid to be insecure. But security only exists in the present and not in memories. Security only exists now, at this very moment, not in the past or the future. Security doesn't exist in memories of the past or experience in the past. So you try to hold on to these things to make yourself secure. But is the present not even greater than that? Is the present not the totality of all things? Therefore, your meditation should be a continual renewal by dying to the past and dissolving the desire to become. Then the living presence is revealed. I wish I could give it to you like a glass of water. But Jesus said, "The water I will give you, you will never thirst anymore. It will be like a spring of living water rising up to eternal life." And it is this eternal life that he saw so clearly. And when you read him, having knowledge and understanding, then you will see the beauty of his words. As you go to the Bible without any knowledge of the truth, you'll just be expressing what's in your mind, your own formulations. You will not understand one word he says. Why? Because the simple reason, you're giving expression to your own conditioning. And these words only create a reaction so that you give expression to your own conditioning. That is all. But if you begin to understand and discern clearly, then it will reveal wonderful, wonderful truth. There's no greater man in all the world than me, except that man of Galilee. And I can say this, that every time I read these words, I know the meaning behind them, and he's mine. So great was that mine. Why? Because really, he was the Son of God. He expressed the Father in all his ways, in his love, and his wisdom. And he also said to us, "These things I do, greater things shall you do, if you will but understand." It's a great pity that men and women have cast aside the pearl of great price. That's why the world is in the state it is today, and will remain in that state until such time as I'll be able to see and understand. Cast off the false, then they will see the truth. Therefore, your meditation should be a continual renewal by dying to the past and dissolving with the desire to become. Then the realization of being and the ever-present will be established. Only when the mind ceases to recreate its experiences is there true creating. Are you trying to recreate your own experiences? Are you allowing the great ever-present to create, which is only created, to manifest through you now? Is it not so that we try to eradicate symptoms rather than cause? And this applies also to our physical ailments. Love, kindness, goodwill create a harmonious chemicalization of the body, exciting a healthy flow of all the secretions and opening the channels so that life forces surge through the organism. That's why the love and kindness is the cure. Our psychological tensions, conflicts, maladjustments produce the major part of our body ailments. Unless there is a radical change in our values that create tension, there will and must be ever-increasing disharmony within and without. This radical change can only be brought about through understanding. When we become aware of our tensions and the cause of our tensions, without conflict of opposites, then they will begin to disappear, so that that which is eternal and ever-present, the all-creativeness, will manifest. I've often said yes in my own mind, through certain meditation and cleansing the mind of all that burdens it, not trying to hold the mind to an idea, or trying to hold the mind in subjection to some thought, or trying to concentrate on some saint, thinking I might become like that saint. With all the stupid nonsense in my mind, I'm concentrating on a scent and still do not know what that stupid nonsense is. Unless I know what the stupid nonsense is, how can I ever know what is beyond it? There's a time that comes in and you will say yes. Even if the heavens fail in, I am saved. That is the feeling. And that is the feeling you get in the presence. With this understanding, you can say, divine life fills me, fills the inner mind, and the effects are seen on the outer. The physical body is a mechanism which is specially adapted for the transmission of the inner into modes of external activity. The whole body is traversed by a network of nerves which serve as channels of communication between the indwelling spirit and the function of the external organ. Thought is the spirit's one mode of action, and all is a result of thought. But if your thought arises from your own conditioning, it has the effect of creating fear and apprehension, which interferes with the smooth running of your organism. Pure thinking can only arise when you have discerned all your own formulations which create fear and disturbance. Pure thinking is the result of awareness of your own thinking, or your, what I should say, thought-feeling reactions. And your awareness of them, knowing that they are your own creations, they die away. Then pure thinking is spirit's mode of action. But if you are caught up in opposites, you're conditioned. So you think in opposites, so you're still conditioned. Don't you see how stupid it is? Sometimes I could swear to let go somehow, to think that how terribly stupid people are in this world of opposites, and how they hang on to them, and how they hang on to error, and think that they can make a bridge that bridges the gap that can never be done. Truth is never found in ignorance. Ignorance has no foundation. So therefore you cannot bridge the gap between the two. Well, that's what everybody is trying to do, unfortunately, with the result that the world is upside down. The spirit is complete now. It does not have to become something else. It is ever-present now, and we are renewed moment by moment with its completeness. When Jesus said, "Be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect," he knew this completeness. We must rest in the eternal. Then he shall reveal his glory in and through us. Yes, when Jesus said these words, I could imagine the state that he was in. He could see error all about him. He could see this error, and he could see how false it was. And as he discerned the falseness of the error, but had no foundation, then he knew in his own consciousness the greatness and the purity and the perfection of the Father. Then his words were words of truth. "Be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." The Creator, the thinker, is therefore first cause. The thought is the secondary cause, and the manifestation is the effect. Heaven means a higher state of consciousness, and earth is the lower. Jesus gave us the key when he said, "The kingdom of heaven is within you." There is no separation. Life alone lives. Life is not divided. Then the same life must exist in God and man at the same time, not at different times. Not tomorrow or the next day, or sometime in the future, or sometime in the past, 2,000 years ago, or sometime in the future, 2,000 years hence. But life is ever present now, so it exists in God and man at the same time, in the timeless, the ever-present. This is the Christ consciousness. And Isaiah 58, the prophet says, "The Eternal will answer when you call, and when you cry, he will say, 'Here am I.'" Is that not significant now? Benediction. "In thy eternal abode I do exist, one with thee. For thy eternal nature is expressed in thy word, which was made flesh. O ever-present eternal being, when I searched for thee in my personal self, I could not find thee. But when my personal self died, I found I was always one with thee, never for one moment separated, except in my own ignorance. Thou art behind my seeing, thou art behind my hearing, thou art behind my feeling, thou art behind my touch. Now I see thy beauty in all thy creation, O mighty one. Now I hear thy voice in all that thou hast created. Thy being, thy eternal sweetness, lay hidden within me. And when I woke out of my mortal dream, it became my life. Oh, God. It is going to be sanctioned in this earth, in this peace, in this understanding.